Sonoma County Focus.
And welcome back to another episode of Sonoma County Focus. My name is Jeff Woodworth, and I am joined in studio by a litany of veterans that took part in the most recent North Bay Honor Flight. I am joined by Claudio Calvo, longtime friend. Claudio, we go back a long time.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Long time.
I still remember you in a frog outfit.
Right, doing pull-ups over at Country Summer, yeah. Nicole McAdams, the president of the North Bay Honor Flight, also a United States Marine. Welcome in, Nicole.
Thank you.
We have Rose Nowick from the United States Air Force. Rose, welcome in.
Thank you.
I have Anthony Lazzarini of the United States Army. Did I pronounce that correctly?
That's correct. You did a good job.
All right, cool. Awesome. We're working on the Italian. And then last but not least, Michael Belling of the United States Navy. Welcome in, Michael.
Thank you very much.
So we are here to talk about the North Bay Honor Flight, rather timely with Memorial Day coming up. I am going to turn it over to Nicole and Claudio to talk about what exactly North Bay Honor Flight is, in case this is somebody's first time hearing about it. It's a pretty neat initiative that we have here locally in Sonoma County. So the floor is yours.
It started 2 years ago.
Okay.
3 years ago. And it's actually me and Kevin Waltlinger. Kevin brought to my attention in 2015, and he did it out of Colorado. At that time, it was just the World War II veterans. Now we lack a lot of World War II veterans because of the age and, of course, them passing away. So we're now concentrating on mostly Vietnam veterans. We are looking for some Korean War veterans, and that would help, would be nice. But I'm going to hand it over to Nicole. She's okay. The boss.
All right, Nicole.
Yeah, thank you. We just got back from an honor flight trip for 23 veterans and their guardians to Washington, D.C. And on that trip, we take the veterans to see their service in war memorials, a right they have earned and deserve through their service to the United States military. So we thank you for having us on the program today and how it dovetails into the Memorial Day weekend. Thank you very much.
I think in the grand scheme of things, this is like the least I can do.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We want to get this program out there into our community so that people hear about it and they sign up for the flight. So this is one really good way to do that, to have these veterans back to talk about their experience on the honor flight that just returned a couple weeks ago.
Okay, so and how did the idea of the North Bay Honor Flight come about? What was like the inspiration behind this? Like, do we have the juicy details behind how it came to be?
Yeah, it's actually a 20-year-old organization. It started in Washington, D.C. Two gentlemen started it so that the World War II Memorial, the veterans coming back, the World War II veterans could come back and experience their World War II memorial. And from there, it grew into accepting in the Korean War veterans and Vietnam War veterans. And it also grew across the nation. So it started as one tiny hub in Washington, D.C., and now it's 133 chapters across the United States. And we're, even though we're 3 years old here in Santa Rosa, we're one of the younger chapters getting started. So, again, we're here today to kind of talk about that and raise the awareness in the community. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, so I want to start with Claudio or Nicole, either one of you, whichever you feel comfortable discussing your military service with. Why is this initiative so important to you? Why is it something that you keep so close to the vest? Why are you investing all your time and energy nowadays into it? What about it?
Well, I joined the Marine Corps back in 1967.
A long time ago.
Memories go first with age. Anyway, it was either join the Marine Corps, which I always wanted to, because my mom used to tell us about this Marine that saved my sister's life in World War II. They were in Guam at the time, and during the liberation, my sister was pronounced dead, but this Marine sergeant saved her life. And so I wanted to be a Marine. So three of us did join the service. Three of us ended up in Vietnam. And but we didn't get the welcome home that we should have received. Instead, I got called a baby killer and murderer and all that. So this is a way to erase a lot of that. It's a healing process. And When I went on mission one, when I came back, I grabbed my daughter and I was crying and I said, after the reception we received, I said, after 57 years, I'm finally home. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm so passionate about this. I want to share this with every one of my brothers and sisters that served in the military.
So this is something that people might notice up on Airport Boulevard a couple times a year, where you have a line of people welcoming back people from these honor flights. And like you were saying, that just gave you the closure that you didn't get the first time around. I feel like in the past when we've had these conversations, we've talked about how mistreated our service members were when they came back. And it wasn't anything that they were personally responsible for. You were just doing what you were told, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
Nicole, what about your time in the Marine Corps?
Yeah, I spent over 20 years in the Marine Corps, and I enjoyed that time. And when I moved to this area, I was looking for a way to give back, and I met Claudio and joined the board, and we were able to get the first flight off the ground together. And for us, I think it's a definite labor of love. I was in Afghanistan, so for me, coming back home, it was a little bit different than the veterans in this room today who are going to tell you their story. But every veteran deserves a proper welcome home from a grateful nation. And many, many, many thousands and thousands didn't receive that proper welcome home. And so our program is in place to not only take them to Washington, D.C. to see the memorials and to show them that gratitude, but to welcome them back home from the grateful nation and to have that parade on Airport Boulevard and to feel that love and appreciation from the community and from the public, from first responders and from active reserve and veteran military. And it's our honor to do that. It's our privilege. And We would like to do it many times over.
Mm-hmm. So I would like to take some time to hear from our veterans that are in studio today. And I want to start with Rose. You're a member of the U.S. Air Force. So what were your takeaways? Or what, first, before we do that, what did you know about the North Bay Honor Flight before going on this adventure?
Actually, I knew about the Honor Flights out of the Bay Area. A friend of mine who was a Vietnam veteran had gone on the one out of San Francisco, and he encouraged me to, you know, get on the list and go. And then I really didn't do too much with it until the North Bay one started, and so I signed up for that one.
Okay, and if you don't mind me asking, what is the Vietnam War during that era?
Well, actually, I'm the dinosaur here.
Oh, okay.
I went in 1959. I got out in 62, exactly the day the Cuban Missile Crisis ended. So I was actually Cold War, but early Vietnam era. So
okay.
I'm kind of in that in-between place.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I couldn't tell. So
that's great.
So what were your takeaways from the trip? What were some highlights that you had from and the closure that you might have felt on this trip?
I was delighted to see the Air Force monument because I was back in D.C. in 97, but that hadn't been built yet. So I had seen some of the other ones, and it was pretty spectacular. I mean, I was totally impressed. We probably took more pictures of that than anything else, but I'm glad I went, and it was a lifetime experience. I mean, it was on my bucket list, and so I'm glad I went, and I'm going to be the best ambassador they've ever had because I tell everybody, you have to go. So.
And can you touch upon the return experience when you guys were driving down Airport Boulevard and had the people in the reception there?
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, to see all those people and handing us flowers and waving to us, you know. When the police, all of the fire departments and the sheriff's department and everyone else is out there, it's kind of nice to be on this side of the law and be laughing.
And we also have Michael Belling of the U.S. Navy. Can you tell me about your experience over in D.C. on this flight?
Wow. It was more and different than I expected, a lot of ways. I think one of the things that was really wonderful for me, even though I met Claudio through a veteran group, so long before this, and we have a group of vets that gets together once a week and just kind of chats. But it was really different with this group, people I'd never met before with different stories. It solidified things that we all did. Mm-hmm. It let us talk about it in an environment we were very comfortable with, and laughed a lot, and were able to take the good and the bad out of it both ways. So the I didn't know. I didn't have closure. I guess that's the best way to say it. I went really because a very good friend of mine who's pretty sick was going, and I really wanted to go, and I am so happy I went. It made a huge difference. Like you said, when I came back from Vietnam and flew into San Francisco, they told us not to wear our uniform. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just was over there kicking my butt for them, and it was really hard. Yet I met a lot of wonderful people afterwards and found out I wasn't alone. So I think it's important that people go do this because it's not you, it's everybody.
Yeah, and so forgive my ignorance here. I did see the Navy CB hat on. So that was, you guys were, I had a cousin that was in the Navy. It was a CB. That was the construction, right? You guys got there, built it up.
I never set foot on a ship. The entire 4 years I was in the service, I built ground stuff, ran power lines. When I got to Vietnam, there were tents, and we helped build the hooches that everybody lived in, and repair the runways and do whatever we had to do to keep the ground safe.
Yeah, but it's still an integral part of the operation, right? Because you have to be able to get over there, set up base camp, and then carry out with what your orders are.
Yeah.
So what were some of kind of like the memories and things that were going through your head as you were visiting the memorial and on this trip?
It's funny. I was talking earlier. I think the Korean memorial hit me the hardest. Mm-hmm. That's not true. I think that the memorial that we went and saw at the Pentagon. I hadn't expected
it. The 9/11.
The 9/11 memorial at the Pentagon, not only how it was set up, just the beauty of it, but to realize that we are not alone with this. There are thousands of people lost their life there. You know, it's important that we all do something together, and this is really important for the guys that went. I highly recommend going. It'll make a big difference in your life.
All right, and then we have, last but not least, Anthony Lazzarini from the United States Army. Shout out to you guys for getting a great representation of our armed forces here. Anthony, what, you were in Vietnam as well?
Yes, I was a helicopter drill gunner in Vietnam.
Okay, and so what about this? What were your thoughts going into this trip? What were your takeaways from it?
Well, I was looking forward to it. I'd been to the Vietnam War Memorial Wall years ago, and it really struck me, and it very emotional to see all those names up there. There's over 58,000. And my group, we did early helicopter operations in Vietnam, so we were trying different techniques and see what would work. And some stuff would work really good, and some stuff wouldn't. We had the highest casualty rate of any group in Vietnam. And if you were a helicopter crew member, your chances of dying were three times greater than the guys on the ground. Consequently, we lost 62 guys out of my group. And when I looked at the wall, I thought about all the names that aren't on that wall because of those 62 guys. Mm-hmm. And the thing that moved me the most was at Arlington Cemetery, and I think everybody should go there, the hundreds of thousands of guys with tombstones there, their names on there. We had, just a few years ago, they dedicated a Vietnam helicopter crew members memorial, and I was able to see that for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I really had to step back and kind of control myself. But I think Arlington, the thing that saddens me most about Arlington is the fact that I don't think anybody on this planet today will ever see the last Army veteran or military veteran from a war put to rest.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you describe the feeling that you got coming home? Was it? I'd imagine it was something similar to what Claudio felt when he was coming back, when you guys were coming back from Vietnam, and then this time with the closure that you might have felt with people lining up on Airport Boulevard.
Well, Claudia and Michael hit the same thing, you know. Vietnam veterans, of course, everybody knows about the reception. Mm-hmm. But what they don't know is that that built a really strong brotherhood between Vietnam veterans. And to be able to, if you ever talk to one and you weren't in the service, they'll never talk to you about Vietnam. But if you were a Vietnam veteran, you got something that they understand, and you can share that. And the it's a great camaraderie. It's a brotherhood. You have this huge family. And the thing, one of the other things that saddens me is that I lost friends. I call it the casualties of the after war, that mentally couldn't handle the challenges once they got back to the States. And I always felt that if we had the invention of the internet sooner, we could have saved a lot of these guys. So anything we do today is helping, you know, restore faith in a lot of guys that felt that they were lost when they came back.
Now, this is my inner optimist coming out here. Was there anything about the trip, and this goes for all of you as well, that I'm sure it brought back emotions of, you know, pain and a different time, but was there anything that you were able to kind of hold on to and just be like, but there was also, I also gained this. I also took this away from my time in the service, whether it be like boot camp or friends that you formed and just certain memories that come back, or is that something that just kind of gets buried as you get older?
Well, it was a reminder that why we served, mm-hmm. and the honor that we did serve. And what stuck with me is that we had a lot of eighth graders doing their tours at the monuments, and we were getting a lot of thank you for your service. So I asked a group of them, says, do you know what you're thanking us for? And they answered yes, and they said, because without you guys, we wouldn't have our liberty and our freedom, and that we're teaching our kids the right way when they retain that and they realize and they believe in that. And you know, that's what I, well, coming back, I realized that, you know, that is why I served back then, and why I'm continuing to serve and help and work with my brothers and sisters.
Well, I do want to give each one of you a chance as we continue on with this episode as to give a pitch as to why, if there's a veteran out there that's listening to this right now that's hesitant to go and take this trip, doesn't want to relive those memories, why they should do it. I'm going to start with you, Anthony. What would be your pitch to anybody that is thinking, I really want to do this, but I don't know if I can or if I want to?
Well, I think part of it is the grudge that the veterans have, Vietnam veterans have, that this is a little bit too late. Mm-hmm. But they have to get over that stigma because it's not too late. I remember getting off the plane in Denver, and there must have been 150, 200 people waving flags and applauding. And I saw this older couple and this one woman. I went up to her, I gave her a big hug, and I said, thanks, Mom. But it's definitely rewarding. Anybody has any doubts about whether they should go or not, don't give it a second thought. Sign up as soon as you can. The groups are so well organized, you won't be lost regardless of your disability. There's always somebody, whether it's mental or physical. But everyone on there, like I said, it was like a huge family reunion of brothers and sisters we didn't know we had.
That's terrific. Rose, what would be your message?
Well, I did not. I failed to mention the Pentagon Memorial, and that really brought a lot to me. I had three brothers in the Navy, as well as my husband was in the Navy, but I lost a brother who was 4 years older in 1962. He was Navy, and I believe they were shot down by the Russians over the Czech border, but we were never told that. And he was 25, and I was 21. I was still in the service. So I didn't go through what these guys went through, but it was an enormous loss, and there was nothing to bring you out of that. Mm-hmm. And I carried that for 40 years until when 9/11 happened, and then I just exploded and went into a deep depression because I was reliving what had happened. So on a different note, but anyhow, I'm glad I went, and I think it's probably the best thing anybody, like Tony said, can do to go and then be welcomed home, mm-hmm. and accept it that you are.
And Michael, your message?
Boy, a lot of them, but yeah. I I've been married over 50 years, 52 years now, and my wife didn't know I was in the service for the first probably 10, because I wouldn't talk about it, and then didn't know I was in Vietnam until after that. And 9/11 did it to me, took me over the deep end, and I took a week off, and I didn't realize how much was going on inside of me. So I will tell you, we had one wonderful gentleman. I sat in the back of the bus because I'm always the last one to get in. And there was a wonderful gentleman that couldn't get out of his wheelchair pretty much. And boy, they accommodated him. They had lifts. They brought him in back. It doesn't make a difference who you are, what you went through. We all went through it to start off with. It's going to change your attitude of being appreciated for what you did.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Nicole, I want to focus on how people can sign up to either be a dose or a volunteer or to actually take the trip. Where can people go to get more information on that?
Yeah, we would love that. And not everyone can support with money. We understand that. So one of the ways they can show their support is to come out on October 14th when our next trip returns home and stand on Airport Boulevard and welcome home your brothers and sisters. We would love to see that community outpouring. Another way is to, if there's any teachers or scout leaders out there listening, bring your class of elementary kids or middle school kids out there, because it can be a teaching moment for them. Bring them out there, give them the awareness of this moment. And I'd like to give the website, which is northbayhonorflight.org. And on that website, you can sign up if you're a veteran to fly. I will say that the queue in this area, we have about 50,000 veterans. The area that our chapter serves is 8 counties in Northern California. So that services about 50,000 veterans. So our queue to fly now is about 2 years. So it's a first to apply, first to fly situation, kind of a first in, first out. So the sooner you apply, the sooner you can fly. So on that website, which is northbayhonorflight.org, you can apply to fly as a veteran. You can apply to fly as a guardian, which is an extremely important part and aspect of this trip. We haven't really talked about it, but it's really the support mechanism and the whole engine behind how everything, it's how the sausage gets made, how everything comes to fruition and how all the veterans are supported so well. And you can also sign up to be a volunteer, which is the third support. And we also have a donation site on a special QR code to donate on that website.
And a two-year queue to fly would kind of indicate to me that this is a rather popular thing. So if we can get some more donations, then we could probably increase the frequency of the flights, true?
We would like to increase the frequency and get more veterans to Washington, D.C., and more veterans welcome home.
Okay, and I know that you mentioned it briefly, but what would you, if you care to expand on the Guardians?
Sure. So the Guardians, how that's organized is every veteran travels with the Guardian, and the Guardian is in place to make sure that the veteran is safe the entire time. They basically, the veteran is hands-free the entire trip, the three-day trip from Santa Rosa to Washington, D.C. and back to Santa Rosa. And the Guardian takes care of all of their anytime they need to.
More coffee? No, no. We really. I will have to say that we did take advantage of it near the end. At first, it was quite unique, and they wouldn't let us. I mean, I got yelled at for carrying my water bottle.
Okay.
I mean, it was. And after a while at breakfast, we'd say, you know, I'd go for another pancake. So our guardians were wonderful. I had the distinct, I think, advantage of my guardian was older than me.
Okay.
Yes. Which was quite impressive that he was taking care of me. But you don't, any age, any group, anybody, it was wonderful.
Yes. And so Michael did have a volunteer guardian, and we do have a volunteer program where anyone can sign up. Basically, anyone can sign up to be a guardian within certain parameters. But we also encourage family members to sign up, and any family member can be a guardian except for a spouse. And our website goes into the reasons for that. But on this trip, we had sons, daughters, and a grandson who was a guardian, and it was just a fantastic trip from that standpoint. We really enjoyed it. We also had a brother who was a guardian, and basically they just take care of the veterans the entire time, make sure they're safe. Some of our veterans are possibly physically disabled or just not as keeping up as fast, so the veterans help them with that. If they're in a wheelchair, they help push the wheelchair. And we take everyone on this trip, whether you have any kind of disability or not, and every person gets a guardian, so we like for you to sign up as well for that program.
I have to do one more shout out to the snack ladies.
Okay. Seems to be a common theme here.
You couldn't turn around without them handing you M&Ms or cookies or something. So don't worry about ever being hungry on the honor flight. They will take care of you.
I also handed out food.
Jeff, you're eligible to be a guardian.
Well, you know, if I can get the PTO signed off, you know, you're gonna have to talk to the higher ups here at the radio station.
Hey, I just saw you, boss.
I'd love to go back to DC. That was a grand old time out there.
I just want to make one point, and I failed to mention that earlier. There's no cost to the veteran for this trip whatsoever.
Right.
There's absolutely no cost. All the costs are borne by our donations, and that's why it is so important that anyone who's listening and who's touched by this program or who knows a veteran or is thankful for a veteran can either make a donation of time, an in-kind donation, or a monetary donation. And you can do all that on our website. We really appreciate that, and we wouldn't be here without that. So we thank you very much.
And that is nbhonorflight.org. Once again, I'd like to thank Rose Nowick from the United States Air Force, Anthony Lazzarini from the United States Army, Michael Belling from the United States Navy, Nicole McAdams from the Marine Corps, Claudio from the Marine Corps as well, for taking the time to speak with me today about the North Bay Honor Flight.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for reaching out to me in that email.
And again, yeah. if you can sweet talk the bosses, I will definitely be a guardian on this trip.
Let's do it. Awesome. Mission 4 is coming up in October.
Thanks, guys.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.